Hello, I'm Andrew Tuck, and you're listening to Tall Stories on Monocle 24, brought to you by the team behind The Urbanist, the show all about the cities we live in. This week, we head to Wellington to take a closer look at a particular wing of the New Zealand Parliament building. Here's Monocle's contributor, Claire Urban, with the story of the beehive.
The eyes are 77, the nose are 44.
That's the moment New Zealand passed the gay marriage bill in Parliament, and spectators in the gallery broke into a Māori love song. The footage went viral and put New Zealand's Parliament building into the limelight.
Definition of marriage amendment bill, third reading.
I understand a...
Once labelled the third ugliest building in the world and described to look like a slide projector that fell on a wedding cake that fell on a water wheel, the executive wing of the New Zealand Parliament buildings has been commonly called the Beehive right from its inception in the mid-60s. Located at the northern end of Lambton Quay, Wellington, the four buildings that make up New Zealand's Parliament have little aesthetic or architectural coherence. There's the Edwardian neoclassical-style Parliament House from 1922, the Gothic Revival-style library built in 1899, the 22-storey-high Bowen House in use since 1991, and the Beehive, the most recognisable of the clutter, a brutalist circular construction resembling a wedding cake built in stages from 1969 to 1979. Now, why we've always called it the Beehive depends on who you ask. Some say the name came about because the building resembles that of a traditional woven form of beehive, known as a skep. Others claim the Scottish architect Sir Basil Spence, who provided the original conceptual design of the beehive in 1964, spotted the name as he piled up boxes of beehive brand matches to illustrate his concept. With a beehive match, you can light a fireball, a billy for a cup of tea. A beehive match just can't be matched, so cheap they're almost free. You could use a match to make you look tough, even though it wasn't true. It lights your smile when you win by a mile, a good old beehive match.
Buy the big beehive economy pack. Strike a light, New Zealand.
At 10 stories high and 4 below ground, it's a somewhat hierarchical layout, with the top floor occupied by the Cabinet Room, the Prime Minister's suite on the 9th floor, and Cabinet Ministers below. There's several cafes and bars, a theatreette, swimming pool, and bunkers in case of lockdown. Lying directly over a fault line, the biggest threat is, of course, an earthquake. So a specific base isolation technology was developed for the project, consisting of lead rubber bearings that act as shock absorbers. The finished building is balanced on 417 of the aforementioned bearings using steel shims and layers of rubber. The iconic building has consistently been a cause for contention, though, with most of its complaints coming from its occupants. There are, of course, limitations from Spence's circular design: asymmetrical and wedge-shaped rooms, cramped offices with ill-fitting furniture, low ceilings and windows that can't be opened. In the mid-late 90s, reports circulated that the decor was dated, the lifts failing and air conditioners roared. Prime Minister at the time, Jenny Shipley, made headlines as she confirmed a patch of the brown carpet in her office was in fact coloured in with a felt pen. Helen Clark's Labour administration, not long after, decided on an upgrade, the first since 1977. Now, the core of the building is decorated with marble floors, stainless steel mesh wall panels, and a translucent glass ceiling. Columns are clad in Takaka marble, and wall panels include locally grown macrocarpa. So, as we recently passed the Beehive's 40th anniversary, it seems only fitting that once again a new government has been elected with a female Prime Minister set to reign as Queen Bee.
You've been listening to Tall Stories, a Monocle 24 production. Our thanks to Claire Urban for today's episode. And remember, tune in every Thursday for the full 30-minute edition of The Urbanist. I'm Andrew Tuck. Goodbye, and thank you for listening, City Lovers.